Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
How's everybody going? Happy Sunday. Happy New Year for some of us. I haven't seen you guys since last year, so Happy New Year. I hope you guys are well. Before I get into it, can we just thank the worship team and the prayer team as well? Thank you so much, guys, for all that you do. It's a new year, and there's a few things that I'm believing and I'm praying for this year. I pray this year, not just for us individually, but for us as a church, that we'll have more godly encounters like this. More godly encounters, not just on Sundays, but every day in our lives. Come on, who's with me? I pray that this year will be a year where we just, every day of our lives, we just get a fresh touch of heaven. I pray that there's just going to be a move of God. I'm praying for signs and wonders. I'm praying for encounters, church, that will just mark us forever. Come on, who's with me? I'm praying that this year will be a year where we have a deeper relationship with our Heavenly Father. Amen. And I'm praying, not just for us individually, but for us as a church, that we be a house that will hunger and thirst for Him like never before. I pray for us as a church that we'll be carriers of God's love and grace, that we be people that give out grace because we are under grace, that we be people who give out love because we are under love. And I pray for us as a church that we be sons and daughters that carry the Spirit of God. That's who we are. We're Pneuma Church. Pneuma means spirit, breath of life, the breath of God. I pray that we are a church that is a Spirit-filled disciples who live by the Spirit and is in step with the Spirit. Amen. Yeah. And I pray that this year, Pneuma Church, not just for us as a church, but for us individually, it's been heavy on my heart that this year will be a year of revival. A revival in our lives. A revival in our homes. A revival in our ministry. Come on, somebody. A revival in our workplace. A revival in our schools. A revival in our society. A revival in our suburb. A revival in our city. A revival in our state. And a revival in our nation. Psalm 85 verse 6 tells us this: will you not revive us again, O Lord, so that your people may rejoice in you? Or God, will you not revive us again, O Lord? What was once dead, will you not bring it back to life again? What was once lost, will they be found in you? And so, Pneuma Church, I pray that this year, God will just pour out a spirit of revival in this house once again. Amen. And lastly, I pray that this year, it might even require some heavy fasting, that this year will be a year where I finally lose 15 kilos. 15 kilos. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right, cool. Hey, I'm so excited to share the word with you today, and I'll be preaching from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. How many of us know that's a very popular scripture? And this word has been heavy on my heart for weeks. This word has been actually very pivotal in my life. This word has convicted me in so many ways, but also encouraged me throughout my faith journey. And my prayer today, church, that it will do the same for you. That this word will encourage you, that this word will convict you, and this word will be pivotal just as it was for me. And before I read the scripture, I just want to give us a bit of a background of Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. And now Romans is a letter that's written by Apostle Paul. Anybody know who Apostle Paul is? He was actually a convert, for those who don't know. He was a Jew. He was a Pharisee. He was actually known for persecuting Christians. How crazy is that? But he had this dramatic encounter with Jesus, and now Paul is a faithful servant and a devout follower of Jesus Christ. And I want to just pause there and encourage us, Pneuma Church. I just want to encourage us that every encounter with God leaves a mark for transformation. You see, when we encounter God, something inside of us shifts. When we encounter God, we cannot stay the same. When we encounter God, transformation must follow. And this is exactly what happened to Apostle Paul. And now Paul is being used by God to advance his kingdom. And in this letter in Romans, Paul is addressing the Christians in Rome. And in the lead up to Romans 12, he talks about God's everlasting love. He goes on and talks about Israel's unbelief. And in that, Paul goes on to mention that through Jesus, salvation is now available through the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? The Gentiles are pretty much the non-Jews. That's us. Romans 10:9 tells us that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:13 tells us, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Paul goes on to tell us that God's mercy is not just for the Jews, but it's also for the Gentiles. That God's mercy is for all. And so we go on to read Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. There should be a scripture behind me. I'm reading from the ESV version, and it says this: I appeal to you, therefore, brothers. Other translations say, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Pneuma Church, I want to speak to you today from the title of Life on the Altar. Life on the Altar. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's time to get right with God. It's time to get right with God. Come on, say it with conviction. It's time to get right with God. Turn to the other side and say, it's time to live my life on the altar. Come on. And before we unpack the scriptures together, I want us to first know what an altar is. How many of us know that's important to know? And an altar is really a structure where sacrifices are made. Okay, the Hebrew word for altar is called mizbeah. Forgive me for my pronunciation. Mizbeah. It means to slaughter or to slay. The Greek word for altar is called thusiatheron, which means a place of sacrifice. And so already we know that altars are a place of surrender. There are a place of offerings, and throughout the Bible, throughout Scripture, we see altars being built. In Genesis 12:7, we see Abraham building an altar after encountering God. In Genesis 26:25, we see Isaac building an altar after encountering God. In Genesis 35:1-7, we see Jacob building an altar after encountering God. And in the tabernacle, in the Old Testament, Old Covenant law, we see a bronze altar for burnt offerings to atone the sins of the people. And we also see a gold altar for incense, symbolizing the prayers of the people. And again, throughout Scripture, we see Noah, we see Elijah, we see Joshua, we see David, all building altars. But in the New Covenant, we see that Christ is the new altar. In the New Covenant, we see Christ is the new altar. The altar is no longer just a structure, but it's a person. Hebrews 13:10 tells us this, and this is the Message version. The altar from which God gives us is the gift of himself. It is not for exploitations by insiders who grab and loot. In the old system, the animals are killed and the bodies are disposed of outside the camp. The blood is then brought inside to the altar as a sacrifice for sin. It's the same with Jesus. He was crucified outside the city gates. That is where he was poured out the sacrificial blood that was brought to God's altar to cleanse his people. Verse 13. So let's go outside where Jesus is, where the action is. not trying to be privileged insiders, but taking our share in the abuse of Jesus. This insider world is not our home. We have our eyes peeled for the city that is about to come. Let's take place outside with Jesus, no longer pouring out the sacrificial blood of animals, but pouring out sacrificial praises from our lips to God in Jesus' name. Hebrews 13 tells us that Jesus is now the altar. Hebrews 13 tells us that Jesus is the sacrifice. He fulfills the altar that came before him. And so in the old covenant, people brought sacrifice to the altar. And in the new covenant, God brings the altar to us and invites us to offer ourselves. He invites us to live a life on the altar. Is this good so far? Is anybody keeping up with me? Yep. And so I want to share a few pointers, Pneuma Church, today in order for us to live a life on the altar. Things that I've learned throughout my journey. And Pneuma Church, if we're going to be a people who live a life of living sacrifice, if we're going to be a disciples of Christ and live a life on the altar, number one, we need to present our lives to God. Present our lives to God. Romans 12 verse 1 says this, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. How do we do that? We do that by living a consecrated life. We do that by living a life set apart. We do that by living a holy life. We do that by living a life of repentance, turning away from sin, a life away from sin, a life away from wickedness, and one that pursues the righteousness of God. You see, presenting our lives to God as a living sacrifice means also to deny ourselves, to deny our fleshy, sinful desires, to deny our own agendas, but to yield to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to surrender our lives to Him. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 tells us this, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. To be a disciple of Jesus, to present our lives to God, must be a daily choice. We have to continually deny ourselves in order to follow him. We have to continually deny ourselves in order to live a life on the altar. And by doing this, we give an offering that is holy and acceptable to God. I want to encourage you, church, giving ourselves as a living sacrifice is not just an event, but it's a lifestyle. Come on, somebody. It's not an event. It's not a Sunday thing, but it's an everyday thing. Giving ourselves to God, living a consecrated life, living a holy life, living a repentant life is not an annual cake thing. It's a daily bread thing. See, your choice to say yes to Jesus must be daily. It must be daily. And our yes must be protected by a thousand no's. We're going to say no to porn because we said yes to Jesus. We're going to say no to vaping because we're saying yes to Jesus. We're going to say no to gambling because we're saying yes to Jesus. Come on, somebody. Am I talking to someone? We're going to say no to drunkenness because I'm saying yes to Jesus. We're going to say no to gossip because we're saying yes to Jesus. Or we're going to say no to bitterness because we're saying yes to Jesus. We're going to say no to deceit because we're saying yes to Jesus. We're going to say no to cheating because we're saying yes to Jesus. We're going to say no to stealing because we're saying yes to Jesus. Come on. We're going to say no to wasting our time on worthless things because we're saying yes to Jesus. We're saying yes to Jesus. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm saying yes to Jesus. I'm saying yes to Jesus. I'm saying yes to Jesus. And church, we must be dead in sin in order to be alive in Christ. We must be dead to sin in order to live a life on the altar. I want to encourage us in the scripture. Romans 6, 1 says this, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means, no. We are those who died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Romans 6, 11 says this, in the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God. Offer yourselves to God as to those who've been brought from death to life. And offer every part yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but you are under grace. You are under grace. Someone say amen to that. Amen. I want to say this. Grace didn't free us to sin. Grace freed us from sin. I want to say that again. Grace didn't free us to sin, but grace freed us from sin. Paul doesn't say feel dead to sin. No, he says count yourself dead to sin. It has to be a decision that we have to make before it's something that we feel. Let me tell you, sin will always be knocking at your door. Hello. Sin will always be knocking at your door. Temptations will always be knocking at your door. The enemy will always try to attack you. The enemy will always try to deceive you. The enemy will always try to destroy you. You cannot stop sin from knocking, but you can stop sin from reigning in your life. You may be tempted, but I want to encourage you, temptation is not your master. Is this good? Yeah. I want to encourage us, don't offer your lives to sin, but rather give yourselves to God. Be an instrument of righteousness, not an instrument of wickedness. Amen? Yeah. And so, Pneuma Church, I want to ask us, what are some things in our lives that we need to deny this year? What are some things in our lives that we need to say no to this year? What are some things in our lives that we need to slay, we need to slaughter? What are some things in our lives that we need to lay down? Is it a certain addiction? Is it a certain relationship? Hello? Is it a certain app, a subscription? Do we need to lay down our pride this year? Do we need to lay down our lust this year, our bitterness, our anger? Can I encourage you, whatever it may be, let's lay it at the altar today. Amen. I want to remind us that our God is not just the creator of heaven and earth, but He is a good, good Father. He's a good, good Father who loves us dearly. I want to encourage us that no matter whatever shame that you may be carrying, whatever sins you may be carrying, whatever guilt you may be carrying, God is merciful. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 tells us that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. How good is that? How good is that? God's love is not only extravagant, God's love is not only unconditional, but God's love is everlasting. His mercy never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Can I encourage you, whatever you may be carrying today, whatever you may be carrying this year, can I encourage you, step into the mercy of God. Is that okay? Yeah. Step into the mercy of God. Not only that, but when we present our lives to God, when we give ourselves to God as a living sacrifice towards our Lord, when we live a life on the altar, it's a form of worship. It's a form of worship. Romans 12:1 tells us this, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Not everything that we do is holy and acceptable to God. But when we live a life on the altar, when we give ourselves as a living sacrifice, that is a worship that is holy and acceptable to God. You see, worship is not just singing or dancing. It's not just clapping your hands. It's not just raising a shout to the Lord. Those are expressions of worship, and those are amazing expressions of worship. But to worship God means to live a life that glorifies Him. To worship God means to live a life that glorifies Him. And I want to encourage us, church, let every aspect of your life bring glory to God. Let every aspect of your life bring glory to God. In your relationships, in your workplace, in your schools, in your extra curriculum, in your extra activities, whether it's sports, music, whatever it may be. Let it be holy and let it be acceptable towards our Lord. Let every aspect of your life bring glory to God. Amen. One of my favorite sayings from my wife, Vanya, she says this, Lord, let all that I am be all about you. Lord, let all that I am be all about you. Lord, let all my life give you glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink, and whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. When you present your life to God, you are demonstrating spiritual worship. When you live your life for the Father, you are glorifying the Lord. And when you glorify the Lord, you tell the world by how you live that you are His disciple. Westies, Pneuma Church, I want to ask us, what can you do now in your life to glorify God? Take a moment. If you want to be disciples who live our lives on the altar, it requires us to surrender our lives to God. To be the one who chooses intimacy. To be the one who chooses to action in faith and obedience. To be the one who lives a consecrated life. To be the one who lives a life away from sin. And to be the one who brings glory to God. Not only that, but to live a life on the altar also means to avoid the ways of this world. We're called to avoid the ways of this world. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, do not conform to this world. Do not conform to this world. I love the NIV version. It says this, do not conform to the patterns of this world. The NLT version says this, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. I want to remind us, Pneuma Church, that we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. Come on. As a believer, as a follower of Christ, as a son and daughter of the Most High, Philippians 3:20 tells us that our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. And as mentioned before, God is calling us to live differently. God is calling us to live a life set apart from the world. And if we're going to be disciples who live a life on the altar, we got to be the ones to pioneer change around us. We got to be the ones to influence the world, not the world influencing us. Church, I want to encourage you in this. You're not called. You're not called to echo the noise of this world. But you're called to carry the Father's voice into this world. You're not called to echo the noise of this world. But you are called to carry the Father's voice into this world. You're not called to conform to the patterns of this world. No, church, you are called to change the world. Living a life set apart, living a life that is holy and distinct reflects our commitment to God. And in doing so, we demonstrate what it truly means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so again, I want to ask us, do the people around you know that you're a disciple of Jesus? Hello. Do the people in your workplace, do the people in your schools know that you are a disciple of Jesus by how you live your life? Do you follow the customs of this world? Do you follow and copy the behavior of this world? Do you follow the patterns of this world? Or do you live a life set apart? Again, I want to encourage us, we're not called to conform to the world. Just because it may be acceptable to the world, it does not mean it's acceptable to God. Hello, somebody. Just because it's acceptable to the world, it doesn't mean it's acceptable to God. It may look good in the eyes of the world. It may sound good in the songs of our culture. It may even feel good in the moment. It may smell good. It may even taste good. But if it's not from God, it's not from God. As simple as that. If it's not from God, it's not from God. So society will try to dress it up. Culture will try to normalize it. The world will try to sell it to you, church. But if it's not from God, it's not from God. Simple as that. Pneuma Church, you are not called to live for the world, but you are called to live for the Lord. You're called to live for the Lord. Lastly, if I can get the worship team to come up. Is this helping anybody so far? Thank you, Jesus. To live a life on the altar means also to be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Romans 12:2 says this, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. The NLT version says this, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. To be transformed is to let God change you. It's to let God mold you into the man and woman that God has called you to be. Isaiah 64 verse 8 tells us this, but now, O Lord, you are the Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all works of your hand. You see, to live a life on the altar, to live a life of living sacrifice, to live a surrendered life means to let the Lord do a work in you so he can do a work through you. So you can be used as a vessel for his glory and the advancement of his kingdom. To live a life on the altar means to be transformed. And to be transformed means to never be the same again. To never be the same again. One example I can give you is the butterfly, where it goes from caterpillar to butterfly. It goes through a stage of metamorphosis. The butterfly can never ever be a caterpillar ever again. Never the same again. And even in this letter in Romans, Paul, the writer of this letter, you know, Paul was once trying to wipe out Christianity. But now Paul is known for spreading the gospel. He was once known for persecuting Christian, but later Paul was persecuted for his faith. Paul was once an enemy, but now he's a hero of faith. Paul was known for his hatred, but now he's known for his love. Paul, after encountering God, after renewing his mind, Paul was never the same again. And if God can transform Paul, who was a hater, who was a persecutor, church, he can transform you. You see, God can transform anybody if we offer our lives to him. God can transform anybody if we surrender our lives to him. God can transform anybody if we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And when we live a life on the altar, God can transform. And so, church, I want to ask you, will you let him transform you? Will you let God transform you? Will you let God mold you into the man and woman of God that he's called you to be? Huh. You may be saying, yes, but how do I do it? How do I get there? Well, number one, we need to be filled by the Spirit. It's so important. We need to yield to the Holy Spirit. We need to submit to the Holy Spirit. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. We cannot live a life pleasing to God without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Church, Romans 8 tells us that those who are in the flesh, listen, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Cannot please God. Galatians 5:25 tells us that if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. We cannot live a life on the altar without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will never ever contradict the will of the Father. That's why it's so important to yield to the Holy Spirit, to submit, to be led, because it will never ever contradict the will of the Father. And if so, if we want to live a life of living sacrifice, a life on the altar, we need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. We need to yield to the Holy Spirit and we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will guide us. The Holy Spirit will help us. The Holy Spirit will continue to teach us what it means to live a life on the altar. What it means to live a life of living sacrifice. Number two, we need to read the word. We need to read the word. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 tells us this: man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Psalm 119 tells us this: how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. Your word is a lamp to my feet and light to my path. You see, God's word is our foundation. And church, I want to encourage us, if we want to be people who are surrendered, separated, and transformed, our lives must be built on the word of God. Amen? Our lives must be built on the word of God. I want to encourage you, let the word of God guide you. Let the word of God instruct you. Let the word of God shape you. Let the word of God mold you. And let the word of God renew your mind. Reading the word of God changes your life. It changes your life. Here are some stats that I came across. You know, reading the word of God tells us that reading the Bible four times a week is 30% less likely to feel lonely. Wow. Reading the Bible four times a week, 32% less likely to struggle with anger. 40% less bitterness in relationship. Fewer destructive thoughts about self or others. 14% reduction in fear and anxiety. How crazy is that? That's what the Word of God does to us. Reading the Bible gives us better relationship with others. Reading the Bible gives us the boldness to share our faith with others. Reading the Bible gives us the boldness and shape to mentor or disciple others. Stats tells us that reading the Bible, 60% less likely to feel spiritually stagnant. Wow. 59% reduction in pornography use. 50% lower chances of getting drunk. That's crazy. Significant decrease in unhealthy behaviors like sex outside of marriage or gambling. Come on, this is the word of God. The word of God is live and active. It's sharper than any other double-edged sword. It cuts through the lies. The word cuts through fear. It cuts through doubt. The word exposes sin in our hearts, not to shame us, but to set us free. The word of God gives us direction. The word of God gives us power and victory over the battles that we face, church. Read your word. Read your word. Number three, prayer. Prayer. You know, there's just something about prayer that renews your mind, hey? There's just something about spending time in intimacy with the Lord. You see, prayer fuels our transformation. It aligns our hearts with God and opens our minds to His wisdom. And the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7 tells us this: do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, when we pray, we stop relying on our own understanding and look to God for guidance and wisdom. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 tells us this: those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. You see, when we spend time in intimacy with God, we shift from self-centered thinking to God-centered thinking. You see, prayer sets our minds on things of the Spirit. And when we pray, church, and when we spend time in intimacy with God, our relationship with God becomes closer. James 4:8 tells us this: draw near to God and He will draw near to you. See, when we spend time in prayer, it increases our intimacy with our Heavenly Father. It deepens our relationship with God. To live a life on the altar means to be the one who is intimate with God. To live a life on the altar means to be the one who is in relationship with God through the leading of the Holy Spirit, through reading the Word, and through prayer. When your mind is renewed through prayer, when your mind is renewed through intimacy with God, church, and when the Spirit's guidance, your life becomes a living sacrifice, placed fully on God's altar for God's glory. And so, Pneuma Church, as we continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit, as we continue to be led by the Holy Spirit, as we continue to read and meditate on the Word of the Lord and continue faithfully in prayer, we start to begin to discern the will of God in our lives. His good, acceptable, perfect will. And we may be asking, why do all this? Why surrender? Why surrender our lives to God? Why live a life set apart? Why renew our mind? Why submit to the Holy Spirit? Why read the Word? Why dive into prayer? Why do all this? Why live a life on the altar? Simple answer is because of God's mercy. It's because of God's mercy. Because of God's love. Romans 12:1 tells us this, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You see, giving our lives as a living sacrifice is not a burden, but it's a response to His mercy. It's a response to His grace. It's a response to His kindness. It's a response to His forgiveness. It's a response to His love. We give because He first gave. We surrender because He first redeemed. We live a life on the altar because His mercy made it possible for us. You may hear it from John, we love because He first loved us. Why don't we stand? Thank you, Jesus. You know, every time we start a new year, we always hear, you know, there's going to be New Year's resolution. We see a vision board, a 2026 vision board, and all this stuff, right? A lot of it is losing weight. I don't know. Maybe I'm just in that space. But how about this year we make a New Year resolution where we live a life on the altar? How about this year we make a New Year's resolution where we say, Lord, I'm going to surrender my life like never before. I'm going to give my life as a living sacrifice to you, God. You know, one of my prayers actually this year is, Lord, I said, Lord, I want more of you. I want more of you, Lord God. And the Lord said to me, if you want more of God, then it's going to require more of you. If you want the fire, if you want the fire of God, there needs to be a sacrifice. There can't be a sacrifice. There can't be a fire if there's no sacrifice, sorry. And so, church, I want to invite you. Will you give your life on the altar? Will you respond to His mercy? Will you present your lives as a living sacrifice this year? Will this year be a year where, will this year be a year where you get right with God? Will this be a year where you give yourself as a living sacrifice? Will this be the year where you take your faith seriously? Will this be a year where you live your life on the altar? I know for me, that's me. I just want more of Him. And if we want more of God, it's going to require more of us. It's going to require more of us to sacrifice, to lay it down, to deny our own ambitions, to deny our own agendas, and just submit everything and surrender everything to the Lord. To live a living sacrifice means to live a life on the altar, where every day we're saying yes to Jesus. And so, Pneuma Church, I want to invite you. I want to open up the altars. If I can get the prayer team to come forward as well. If this is you this year that says, Lord, I want more of you, Lord. If you're saying to yourself, Lord, this is the year where I give myself to you. Lord, this is the year where I live my life on the altar. Lord, this is the year where I live my life as a living sacrifice. Lord, this is the year where I get right. This is the year where I take my Christian walk, my faith walk seriously. I want to invite you, will you come up front? And we'd love to pray for you as the worship team leads us.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.